Today we want to talk about courage, and this lesson is courage to pray. Courage to pray. And that's certainly an important thing. This morning, I grant you that those who are watching or listening by live stream, and some of you right here, are discouraged. You have some discouraging things in your life today, probably. If not, hang on. You will have sooner or later. And we need to know what to do when there's discouragement. And there's a lot of discouragement around. But we need to have courage during those times to pray. Prayer is so absolutely vital. And I'm afraid that so many people do not pray like they should. Godly people, Christian people. We have Facebook. We have all kinds of other things. We have telephone. We have television. We have many other things, hobbies. A lot of different things in our lives that if we're not careful, we will not have the kind of prayer life we should have. Every believer should have a prayer life and spend some time, not just lay me down now, lay me down to sleep. That little prayer, or thank you, Lord, for the food. That's in order on some occasions, but we need to be prayer warriors. We need to be people of prayer. How much time do you spend every day in prayer? How much time do you spend every week, every month in prayer? We must be a praying people. And if you're going to have victory and really have peace and really be powerful for God, you're going to have to pray. You must be a praying person. We're going to look at a lady today that really prayed. And we look at 1 Samuel 1. I'm not going to read all the verses at one time. We'll read them as we come to them because of time. But we want to look at the wonderful life of Hannah. And the Lord had shut up her womb. She could not have a baby. She was being persecuted and mistreated and all of that. And yet she went to the Lord in prayer. No Christian should neglect prayer. Hebrews 4:15-16, you're probably familiar with that. The verses say, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." I'm so glad that Jesus understands us. Aren't you? He understands, and he knows what you're going through. "But was in all points tempted like as we are." You say Jesus was tempted. That's what the Bible says. He was tempted like we are. "Yet," here's the difference in us and him, "without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." Do you ever need mercy? I do. "And find grace." I need grace too, to help in time of need. And we have a tendency sometimes to neglect prayer, especially when things are going well. But you let us have some problems, then we find it pretty convenient in an emergency to call on God. And I've seen that many times in over the years in pastoring, that some people that obviously didn't have a prayer life, and you knew it and they knew it, and they would tell you that. But boy, when an emergency came, they called the pastor. They want everybody praying and praying for it. And that's better than not doing it. But Hannah had a problem. Her problem was infertility. And you say, well, why should that be a problem? Well, it caused her to be mocked in that culture. To be infertile, to not be able to have a baby, was frowned upon greatly. And she was being mocked because of that. But she didn't lash out. She did not get bitter like many Christians do. And she really got better because she went to God in prayer. And that's what we need to do. So number one in your outline, courage in discouragement. Courage in discouragement. We know that Elkanah had two wives. That was a mistake. not because they were all mean, I guess, but it's just not a good idea to go against God's plan. You say, well, there was polygamy in the Old Testament. Yeah, practiced by the Jews, but it was never God's will. Get that in your mind. It was never, never condoned by God. He never approved it. Never at all. So what is God's plan? You know it, I hope. One man, one woman for a lifetime. That is God's ideal plan. And that's what we need. One man, one woman for a lifetime. And God, Mark 10:6-9, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. I hope we got that right today. God didn't make them and say, if you want to be a transgender, go ahead and be a transgender. God made them male and female, and he said they're supposed to leave father and mother and all that and cleave to one another, and they become one in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that culture, as it was, and it was exacerbated because of the situation, there was a stigma because children are a sign of God's blessings, and that's the way it ought to be. Psalms 127:3, lo, children are inheritors of the Lord. We should look at it that way. And I don't have time to develop what I'd like to say here, but I can guarantee you in my ministry, I've seen a lot of people that did not look at their children as a heritage from the Lord, and many were mistreated. But in this case, God sovereignly closed the womb. How do we know? Well, 1 Samuel 1:5 says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, but he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. You believe God can do that? The Bible says he can, and he did. Also, God can open a womb. I've known of people who could not seemingly have any children, and we'd go together and get in prayer and ask God to change that, and then they'd have a baby. Maybe they just wanted one. Before you knew it, they had four or five. God did a good job, you know. But at any rate, that's the way it was. But God sovereignly closed her womb, and there was a providential reason for that. Perhaps she thought maybe, well, God's displeased with me. He's mad at me. He doesn't like me. And that's why he's not doing it. But this was God's plan. And God was about to reveal to her something wonderful, something about that plan that would help her to understand. And God was just about ready to give her a special child, a very special child with a very special ministry. Sometimes we have to remember this, that God allows trials in our lives for a specific reason. He lets them come into our life. Why? Sometimes it's so we can get closer to him and he can reveal himself to us that he really is there and that he really is God and that he really does have all power. He can do that. And he shows us that grace. Sarah was barren, but God gave her Isaac. Rachel was barren until Joseph came along. And Elizabeth in the New Testament was barren until God gave her a son. But God had a plan for all of this. So God is sovereign, and he works things to his purposes, to his glory. Now, it was difficult for her, but God was carrying out his plan. And sometimes it's difficult for us, but God is just working his plan, his sovereign plan in our lives. And that was the case for Hannah. But this truth ought to encourage us that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And he doesn't allow things to happen in our lives that he doesn't permit for a reason. And we find that out sometimes later on. Charles Spurgeon said this, there's no attribute of God more comforting to his children than that of divine sovereignty, that is, his total control. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, they believe that sovereignty has ordained their afflictions, that sovereignty overrules them, and that sovereignty will sanctify them all. And that's true. God can and God does use all of our trials for his glory, and we need to see it that way. So Hannah was barren. And then Hannah, A, she was barren. B, Hannah was belittled. She was belittled. There were a lot of hurtful words came her way. Penina must not have been a very nice lady. She picking at her and saying, oh, who do you think you are? I'm his favorite because I've borne him children. You can't even bear him a child. I don't know what she said, a lot of stuff like that. But those words were discouraging to her. You know, isn't it interesting sometimes when there are problems that there's a piling on of people with their comments. And that's what Job sort of went through with his so-called friends. But Penina was an adversary. Verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore. It was tough. And she really went after it at her. She was an adversary. She provoked her sore. And Elkanah had those two wives, but that was not, as we said, God's plan. Listen, anytime you step out of God's plan, you're going to have problems. Anytime you step outside of God's plan, you're going to have problems. It doesn't work outside of God's plan. And so that's what he did. And it caused problems in his family, that type thing. God salvaged the situation. But the trial lasted, by the way, a long time for her. Verse 6 and 7. Look in there in 1 Samuel 1, 6 and 7. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret was hard for her, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Really had her down. She wouldn't eat. She's crying. She was weeping. She wanted a child. By the way, how bad do you want something? Think of some things in your life that you really want. And you really want them badly. You've got to keep praying and keep trusting God and have a brokenness like she had. She wept. She was broken. She was going to God in prayer, and that was noticeable about her. And it lasted a long time for her. Spurgeon said again, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. Listen to that. Anxiety does not empty you of tomorrow's sorrows. You can worry about it today, but it's not going to help tomorrow for you to worry about it. Anxiety, but only empties today of its strength. If you're worried about tomorrow all the time, you're not going to be worth much today. You're not going to be happy today. You're not going to be a person that is productive. Those type of things are not going to be in your life. So year after year, she went to Shiloh. Shiloh was the capital of Jerusalem. Shiloh was the city where the tabernacle was. And that's why Elkanah was there, and two boys who were terrible, Hophni and Phinehas. And Eli was there as the priest, not Elkanah, but Eli. And so that was the situation that was there. And so she was there. She went up every year to Shiloh, to this place, and they offered sacrifices, all of those things. Now, all of these problems, how was Hannah going to respond to these problems? A lot of times we face discouragement. We do. Family. Sometimes it's health. Certainly in the senior citizens class, a lot of us can relate to that. It's a discouragement because of health problems. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's financial, whatever it may be. And sometimes it's almost overwhelming. But we have to turn to the Lord. And so she had courage in discouragement, number one. And then number two, courage in prayer. She was discouraged, courage in discouragement, and then courage in prayer. How did she respond? She responded in the right way. She could have had some negative response, but she didn't. And pastoring for 50 years, when I would counsel some people who had problems, and they were going through difficulties, I would hear all kinds of statements. I would hear, well, God must not love me. I try to live right. I try to do right. And I don't understand why God allows this in my life. I don't like it, and I don't understand it. Well, sometimes we don't, but we can't get mad at God. I have known people that quit church and quit God because they had some problems. When if they had stuck it out and turned to God and prayed and lived for the Lord, God could have used that. And I could give you some illustrations. We don't have time. But I've seen that happen. I've heard him say, well, I tithe and I give, and yet I'm having financial problems. I just don't believe God honors that principle. Well, he does honor that principle. And if you'll just give it time, you'll see that it works. And sometimes God tests us. Why are we tithing and giving? Motivation. What's our motive in tithing and giving? And God will allow the test to come along sometimes. You're not expecting it. And I bought a car brand new and kept it and had 123,000 miles on it. A Toyota, just to give them some bad advertisement. I mean, good advertisement. And the lifters went bad on it and cost me $5,000. I promise you, I wasn't expecting that. And I thought that that Toyota would last and last and last. And I hope it doesn't happen again. But I had no right to get mad at God and question God. God allowed it for a reason. Maybe the car's going to last longer now since I got better lifters in it. I don't know. But God knows, and we just have to accept those things that he allows to come into our life. But I've heard all kinds of people, and all kinds of people get angry. They get mad at God, and they quit serving God. And, of course, those are the wrong things to do. Look at verse 10, 1 Samuel 1:10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. That's the way you respond. That's the way she responded. As I said, how bad do you want something? And we have to run to God. Don't run away from God. For goodness sake, that's a terrible thing to do. Run to God and run to him quickly in prayer. Psalm 61, 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let me go to the rock. Jesus is the rock. She followed the footsteps of a lot of people, no doubt, that she knew about in the history of the Old Testament. George Mueller said the beginning of anxiety, worrying yourself to death, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. Think about that statement. The beginning of worrying and anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. That's a great statement. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And George Mueller knew something about that. Let's quickly look at three aspects of Hannah's prayer. A, Hannah's petition. And we just read that in verse 10 where she was praying to the Lord and she was asking God for a son. You know, you don't have to worry about something that seems impossible to you because all things are possible to God. We think too little about God. All things are possible to God. And though this seemed impossible, she was bringing it to God in prayer, and that's what we ought to do with things that seem impossible. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and what? And not faint. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Always pray and don't faint. And so that's God's plan. Pray for things that only God can do. God alone can do. The pastor can do so much for you. Friends can. But God's the only one who can do some things for us. He's the only one. So disappointments come. Goals are missed. Chronic problems come. But we need to take them to the Lord. Again, Spurgeon said another quote from him, prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Think about that. God hears your prayer. Prayer moves the arm that moves the world. And so that's God. So Hannah's petition, and then Hannah's promise. Hannah prayed and she made a promise to God. Verse 11, look at it. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. And she vowed a vow. And she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, if you will, and if you'll remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head, a symbol of his separation to God. It would not happen. And so she is saying, God, this is what I'm willing to do. And she wasn't bargaining with God. She promised God she'd give him a son if God would give her the son. And she would dedicate that boy to the Lord. And she would totally surrender him to God. Totally surrender, not partially. And she wasn't bargaining with God. Warren Wiersbe said it this way, Hannah did not bargain with the Lord. Rather, she proved her spirituality by willingly offering God her best, her firstborn son. She wasn't doing that. It was the depth of her faith. It was what she knew God could do. Giving back what God had given her and not withholding it, giving it back to God. That's the degree of her surrender. That's what that verse is all about. She wasn't bargaining with God. Then we need to offer God our very best. And that was her very best. You think she didn't love that child? After all those years of not bearing a child, she loved that child even when she was discouraged and disappointed. And we need to do that. Offer God our best even during those times. Hudson Taylor, great missionary, before he became a missionary, he wanted to marry this lady in England. And he asked her father for permission, and her father said she was a good Christian, and he said, only if you will stay in England. Only if you will stay in England. Well, God had told him to go to China, and so he did not marry her. That wasn't easy for him, but he wound up, and all of us know Hudson Taylor and the works that were done in China and how God used him unbelievably there. Then Hannah's presentation. God gave her a son, and she presented that son back to him. Look at verses 19 and 20, 1 Samuel 1. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. They had an intimate relationship and an intimacy on that occasion. And then in verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, and saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. What an appropriate name, Samuel. I've asked him of the Lord. So God answered the prayer, and they entered into intimacy, and she was with child. And so the Lord remembered her. Those are good words, aren't they? The Lord, those are precious words. The Lord remembered her, and God gave her a son. God isn't some mean, stoic person that is not involved in our lives. God's not up there just an old man rocking in a rocking chair, and he doesn't want us to bother him. God loves for you to consult him. You say, well, what kind of God do we have? All of us can pray at one time. All of us in here. And God will hear every one of us. He's amazing. He's marvelous. And he can do it. And he does. And he cares. And he loves us. And he honors our prayers and our motivation in our heart. God may not always give us exactly what we want. And that's the case. But he knows exactly what we need, right? He knows exactly what we need. And I'm glad sometimes he didn't give me what I wanted. I would have been in trouble many a time, but he gave me what I needed, and he still does that, and I thank God for it. And he never forgets us. 1 Samuel 1:24-28, look at those verses. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, that was the priest, and the prophet priest. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee there praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. She's testifying to Eli. You remember, he thought she was drunk. Therefore, when she was praying, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. That word lent doesn't mean like I loan you something, you give it back. The original word means totally gave him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. That is, Eli saw it, and he consequently worshiped the Lord. He knew what was going on. So God remembered Hannah, and she remembered her promise to God. Hannah's greatest fulfillment, I believe, in her life was she gave him to the Lord. He knew, too, that she gave him to the Lord. He wasn't done to the matter. She let him know that she gave Samuel to the Lord. What greater legacy could you leave than to leave your children for the Lord and turn them over to the Lord? And you say, well, I did that, and my son and daughter, they still not right. Don't give up. When he is old, maybe it may take a little while. It did for her, didn't it? It may take a little while for them to get right and come back to the Lord. But don't ever give up. Just keep on praying. Give your children to God, and that gives you joy and not sorrow. And it may take a while. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy. No greater joy, he said, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't that true? When your children, grandchildren walk in truth, that's such a special blessing to you. So courage in discouragement, courage in prayer, and courage to honor God. When God answers prayer, always don't forget to give him praise. Many times he answers our prayers and we just sort of forget about it. Or we don't testify. God answered my prayer. That's a good testimony to other people to encourage them to pray. So with praise for deliverance, A in your outline, with praise for deliverance. And that focuses on the Lord, not ourselves. 1 Samuel 2:1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Why? Because I rejoice in thy salvation. So she was praising God for delivering her from this time of all of the embarrassment and all of the stuff that she took from Peninna and no doubt from some others. So we should not focus on God alone. That's good, but focus on what he does for us and give praise for it. 1 Samuel 2:2-3. Look at these verses. 1 Samuel 2:2-3. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock. You ought to underscore that word, like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Give him the glory. Know that he's the rock. God is the rock. In other words, he's steadfast. He's steady. He never changes. The Lord does not change. God's people have always found him to be a rock and a rock of help and refuge. And I know if you've been saved any length of time, you know that. So we can pray and discover the same thing in our lives. What? He's the rock. He's the go-to person. He's the one that can take care of the problem. And then see with continued service. With continued service. Hannah didn't stop serving the Lord. Annually, we read that she kept going back to the tabernacle. Look in chapter 2, verse 19. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. I think that's sweet and precious. She made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She was still serving and worshiping God, and she would bring that little coat every year. I don't know how she knew what size he would be, but you know, when we were home, I said to my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, my goodness, you've grown so much and all of that. You're so much taller than you were. After a year, we see them about once a year, and they really shoot up. Well, I imagine Hannah wondered just how tall is he, and maybe they made a mark in the temple somewhere, a tabernacle, and they'd check it out every time. I don't know what they did, but I know that she brought him that little coat, and I think that was significant. I believe there's a longer and better message there to be had. I'll have to try to develop that sometime about that little coat, but she was doing that. So he was serving God, and she was one of the ones that was really responsible for it. I think she was very pleased. She'd go back and say, hey, he's serving God, he's serving God, he's serving God. Every year she'd know that. Many years of discouragement, but God answered her prayers. Eventually, he became prophet and priest. And Eli and Hophni and Phinehas were terrible. He had two boys that were working as priests and all, and they were terrible. They were immoral. They were having sex with women in the temple and all of that kind of thing. And Eli was allowing it. He wasn't reprimanding them. He should have run them off. He should have fired them. He should have got his heart right with God, but he didn't. And, of course, he paid the ultimate price for that too. But God knew that was the case. God knew what was going to happen, and God set it all up that Samuel would take that place and be the prophet and the priest. And I think he did a pretty good job of it. So there's surrender, and then there's confidence. How do we do that? Well, courage and discouragement. There's no trial in our life that is ever wasted. Courage in prayer. The first instinct we ought to have is to go to God in prayer. Courage in honoring God. We ought to honor him, praise him, and tell people what he's done. And then be faithful to serve him, to show in your life that you really believe that. So here's the closing challenge to you. Look at your own prayer life. Today, this lesson is not just to fill time. Look at your own prayer life today. Evaluate your prayer life. Are you being courageous in it? You have a good prayer life? Even when you're discouraged, sometimes we get discouraged. We don't want to pray. That's when you ought to pray. When you're discouraged, pray. Are you trusting him to meet the needs that only he can meet? Look at your prayer life. Are you living surrendered to his will, living without practice sin in your life so he can honor your prayers? If you have practice sin in your life, he's not bound to honor your prayers. And are you living surrendered to his will no matter what the answer might be too? He may say no, and you think he should say yes. Are you honoring him for the answered prayers that he gives? We have a lot of lessons from Hannah. Pray, don't ever give up. Know that God can take care of the matters. Father, thank you for your word. Encourage us to keep praying. And we know, God, you're all-powerful. You're omnipotent. There's nothing too hard for you. Help us not to give in, give out, or give up, but to keep on praying, trust you, and wait for the answer, and then give you honor and glory when the prayer is answered. And to serve you to show that we are thankful for answered prayer in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.